On the Podium, the podcast where Olympic and Paralympic athletes share their remarkable personal journeys.
It makes you proud to have believed until the end.
Search for On the Podium.
We're ready to go. We're ready to have fun. We're ready to party.
Wherever you found this podcast.
Welcome to this edition of the Sporting Witness podcast from the BBC World Service with me, Uma Dewiswamy. I'm taking you back to 1991 when one of the world's best tennis coaches realised he was coaching two future world number ones, Venus and Serena Williams.
Now I'm thinking, not only can these girls be number one in the world, and they live in the same house and share the same bedroom, they can transcend the sport.
That's Rick Macy. He's a seven-time National Tennis Coach of the Year and has worked with Andy Roddick, Jennifer Capriati, Maria Sharapova, and Venus and Serena Williams. The story of how the Williams sisters got involved in tennis is sporting folklore. Here's their dad, Richard Williams.
Before they were born, I had seen a tennis match on TV, and Virginia Rizik was the recipient of $40,000 for a tennis tournament for 4 days. And I was just thinking, if a person make that type of money in 4 days, and I had two girls, that's $80,000 a week. I really began to look into it to see if that was true, that tennis players earn that type of money, because I didn't know anything about tennis, but it was true. So I went to their mom and said, I want to have two kids, and they're going to be professional tennis players.
So their destiny was sealed. But Richard needed a bit of help to get the girls going on his chosen path. This is where Rick comes in.
I get this phone call one day from Richard Williams, and he said, I'm honored to talk to you. I got two daughters, Venus and Serena, and we want you to come to Compton. And I said, well, I didn't know anything about Compton at the time. This was 1991. I just heard, you know, like riots and stuff like that. And he was the funniest guy ever. He goes, hey, Rick, I promise I won't get you shot.
As reassuring as that might have been, flying from Florida, where his tennis academy was, to Compton in LA, which was the other side of America, was not something Rick normally did.
I never go see a player. They either come to the academy or I would see him at a tournament. How crazy is that? The first time I've ever done this, I just said, I'm curious. So I booked a flight, went to LA, and that night, it was just like yesterday. You know, Venus, Serena, Orsine, and Richard come to the hotel. And then Richard, he pulls out a piece of paper and he starts grilling me. But I respected it kind of, because if he was going to let someone in his circle, I guess, he wanted a father figure, a role model, someone who's been there, done that. We talked for like 2 hours. And he said, hey, we're picking you up tomorrow at 7 o'clock. We're going to East Compton Hills Country Club.
Country Club might have been a bit of an exaggeration.
About 10 minutes into the drive, I'm looking around and I go, this is a strange place for a country club. So we pull up to a park. We get out. Okay, there's about 20 guys playing basketball. This is 7:30 on a Saturday. People are smoking, drinking, passed out in the grass. So we had to go walk across the basketball court. It parts like the Red Sea. They go, hey, VW, Venus Williams. Hey, Meek, Serena's middle name, Serena Jameika Williams. They were like celebrity, because you could imagine, this is Compton, California, two little African-American girls on these raggedy old tennis courts.
This is the first time Rick has seen the sisters in action.
And I start drilling Venus and Serena. And there's arms and legs and hair. Remember, I had Capriati. You know, she was poetry in motion. And now I'm looking at this stuff in Compton, and it's a train wreck. But it's a great lesson. You don't judge a book by the cover. About an hour into the workout, I said, let's play competitive points. And the whole landscape changed. The footwork got better. The preparation got better. But what blew me away, the burning desire to get to the ball with both girls, there was like a rage. There was something inside these two little girls I've never seen. And I told Richard, come here. I go, let me tell you something. I said, you got the next female Michael Jordan on your hands. And he puts his arm around me and he goes, no, brother, man, I got the next two.
They joined the academy in September 1991 and trained 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, with 4 hours on Saturdays. Serena started with Rick when she was only 9 years old. It didn't take long for him to realize the potential she had.
I did see at a young age, Serena is the best athlete that I've ever coached. And this is when she was 11. And she had all the time in the world. And people would look at me and they didn't understand what I meant by that. It was an innate quality. It looked like she wasn't even trying. She just could slow things down in her mind. But more importantly, there was this rage. Whenever we kept score, she was like a pit bull. She would not let go of you. So I said, this girl, when she matures, the sky's the limit. Serena just had a little different athleticism, but I could see it about 13 when she started to mature, because she not only checked every box, she created a few more.
And if you're going to grow up to be one of the world's greatest tennis players, you get to be a bit demanding.
Serena was 11, 100 degrees out. They're already on the court 5 hours, and Serena's not moving. She's just standing in the corner. She was just standing there. I go, Serena, I go, meet. You got to move your feet. She looked at me. She goes, why? Like, she gave me that look that everybody saw at the U.S. Open. I go, you say you want to be number one. She goes, Rick, I will be number one. And I go, well, how can I get you to move your feet? She goes, Rick, I'm really hungry. Can you have Scott go to the snack machine? I want some hot curly fries, a Snickers bar, a Pepsi. And on the way to work today, Daddy drove by a stand and I want one of those Green Day t-shirts. So I go, okay, wait a minute. So if I get you the curly fries, the Snickers bar, the Pepsi, and Scott gets you the Green Day t-shirt, you're going to move your feet? She goes, Rick, you see that tall, skinny girl over there? She was pointing to Venus. She goes, I'll make her look slower than molasses. So I had Scott go get the curly fries, the Pepsi, the Snickers bar. He brings back all the goodies. Serena has her snack. She's in the corner, ripping forehands and backhands. Sweat is coming off this little girl like Niagara Falls. 1 hour straight, ripping ground strokes. It got to be 3:15. I'm on the other court now with BW. She goes, Rick, I'm done. It's 3:15, and you better have that Green Day t-shirt here in the morning. That's typical Serena.
In 1992, they were invited to play an exhibition match against some high-profile opposition.
We're going to play doubles against two of the greatest doubles players of all time, Billie Jean King and Rosie Casals. Venus and Serena are 12 and 13. There's 5,000 people in the stands, and Billie Jean's starting to serve, and Serena is actually standing closer to the service line than the baseline. And Billie Jean goes, you got to back up. And Venus goes, because Venus is always a protector. No, this is where we stand. They didn't even realize they're playing people that have won 20 grand slam. They're there like it's a Compton street fight. It was amazing.
The sisters stayed with Rick's academy for 4 years before moving on to get more experience. Despite never traveling to see a potential player, Rick broke that rule when it came to Venus and Serena. Looking back, is he glad he did?
Obviously it is, because it's bigger than, you know, Rick Macy or Venus or Serena or anything I've done. Because if I don't do that, who knows how this script, you and I might not be talking. That is the best decision I've ever made in my life. We changed history.
Both Venus and Serena went on to become number one in the world, winning numerous titles between them, with Serena arguably becoming the greatest player of all time. Rick Macy is still coaching at his academy in Florida. He was speaking to me, Umadere Swamy, for that edition of the Sporting Witness podcast.
The food chain.
What is going on here?
Celebration.
The joy of cooking.
Oh, it is delicious.
It's a voyage of discovery and a celebration of all things food.
I think I've experienced different ways of looking at the world and different cultures.
Explorations, adventures.
It is tradition.
Food plays a very important role.
From the science.
So when leptin levels are high, your appetite is reduced. You feel satisfied.
And business.
Surely everyone ought to be keeping bees. And I said, well, surely you wouldn't advise everyone to open a restaurant.
To the culture.
So they added the spices that they knew to the food in the Dutch kitchen and created a whole new cuisine called Cape Malay Cuisine.
The Food Chain, a podcast from the BBC World Service.
I love it.
Just search for The Food Chain, wherever you found this podcast.